This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. We have a super duper exciting show. If you've ever had a puppy in your life or you're thinking about getting a puppy in your life, this is the show you definitely want to listen to. We have Kathy Callahan come on and talk to us about her latest book, Welcoming Your Puppy from Planet Dog, How to Go Beyond Training and Raise Your Best Friend. So we love our dogs, we love our puppies, but they can be a handful. So we're definitely going to learn more about what Kathy has to say because she's the pro behind it all. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Welcoming to our show. She is an experienced professional dog trainer. She is one of the best out there, and she knows her stuff. She also writes for Whole Dog Journal. She has a podcast called Pick of the Litter, and she is our dog and puppy expert, a certified professional dog trainer. Of course, we're talking about Kathy Callahan, an author of the book, Welcoming Your Puppy from Planet Dog. Kathy, welcome to the show.
I am delighted to be here. Thanks for having me on. Love to talk about puppies.
Yeah, let's talk about it. We'll get right into it. So tell us a little bit about the book and then maybe how it came to be.
Sure, sure. So I have been guiding new puppy owners for a decade. Our family has fostered 235 puppies in our house. And so it's very fun, very rewarding. And I started doing this by guiding those new adopters through those first weeks of transition. Figured out I really loved doing that, ended up becoming a dog trainer. And I do focus now on, you know, helping clients through puppyhood, through the first year of puppyhood. And here's what all of that has told me. So a decade of working with people who have just gotten puppy has told me that a lot of them are miserable. And so the reason the book came about is I really want to bring the joy back to puppyhood where it belongs. So what happens is people will turn to me and reach out. Typically, it's maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks after they get a puppy. And they say, this is not what I expected. You know, maybe this was a mistake. They've just had it with the peeing and the destruction and the biting and the jumping, and their whole family is all stressed out. And they're like, this is not what it was supposed to be. So, you know, we will schedule a consult and I'll head over there and they'll get out their little notebook ready to record all of the tips and tricks that are going to make puppyhood just like it was supposed to. And I say, I do have those things. I've got all that, those techniques, but guess what? None of them are going to work for you. And that's because first you have to get into the right mindset. So I tell them there's just one thing I want you to write down in that notebook. And it's this. This is a baby that you kidnapped from another planet. So that's where the title of the book comes from. And, you know, that's a sad thought, right? You don't want to hear that. But there's a method to the madness here. And I want people to sit in that sad thought just for a second, because the empathy that comes out of that understanding is what is going to be the secret trick to getting you through puppyhood. Because if you can imagine what this dog is feeling, having been plunked down in a foreign land all of a sudden, being told no whenever he does anything that's absolutely natural for him on his home planet, having nobody to turn to that understands that, suddenly you're going to start responding to that puppy in a way that is really effective for you and for the puppy and makes the puppyhood a lot happier for everybody involved.
Well, big kudos, first of all, for 200 plus fosters, you know, being definitely working with and being a former president of a humane society myself, finding the right and perfect home is the ultimate goal. But you've got to have fantastic fosters who are patient and willing to take them in and help them out until we find that right and perfect forever home. So,
yep.
I think that's a key. You know, you're spot on also in the fact that, you know, it's when you have an adult dog, that's one thing. You know, you still have, they have to learn the lay of the land and the rules of the house, these type of things. And it always astonishes me that people expect them to know exactly what to do as soon as they walk into the house, and that doesn't happen. But then you throw the puppy in there, and that is a whole new ball game because they don't know how to do anything.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so that is really true that this message carries on through adults as well, is that we have this strange expectation that dogs are going to fit into our life no problem, and that they're going to know exactly what to do. And then we get mad at them and we tell them no all the time, when in fact, they are just being dogs. And I do think the background as a foster, I think, is what has given me such a strong sense of all this, because I take in pregnant moms and litters. And so I really watch what it's like for their first 8 weeks. And I see that they are 24/7. They are, you know, doing everything that's very natural for a dog. They are jumping and wrestling and biting and digging and chewing. And then one day somebody swoops in, picks one up from the pile and takes them home and puts them in a pretty new bed and starts telling them no whenever they are doing all those things that they've been doing for 8 weeks. And so I think just seeing so much of that development is what has given me the instruction I need for how to transition those puppies happily into our human world. You know, you've got to give them a little bit of Planet Dog while you're teaching them about Planet Human, and that's gonna make it work out much better.
Yeah, I remember the two things that comes to mind with our latest puppy. She's not a puppy anymore. She's 12.
Yep.
Yeah. So we've had, you know, dogs and cats and turtles and birds. And, you know, so the whole, my wife is the Ellie Mae Clampett of the world. So she's never seen a critter she didn't like.
Awesome.
But we went 20 years without having a puppy.
Yeah.
And that was a whole new ballgame. And I sort of forgot what that was all about. And I remember bringing her home. And as soon as she came in the door, first thing she did, like you'd mentioned, looked around. It's like, where are they? She was expecting the rest of her litter mates and her mama and whoever else. So they weren't here. So we had to go with some explanation on what that was all about. And then I, after 20 years, I sort of forgotten how, A, their attention span, they're always on the move for 15 minutes, then they nap for five, and then they're back up for 15. That was the first thing. And then the second is realization I needed some really thick cushions on my backside, because you spend a lot of time on the floor, on your hands and knees and butt and training. Yeah, all these things.
Absolutely. You know, honestly, I feel like it's great for me. I'm constantly having to get up off the floor. And that's what they tell you. You're supposed to make sure that you are in good enough shape that you can get up off the floor all the time as you get older. So the puppies keep me down there. But yeah, that's absolutely true. And you're also, you know, a lot of people, what is frustrating is that they just feel pretty homebound with a puppy, and they feel kind of trapped even in a room, because the puppy cries when you want to leave the room. And so, you know, part of the advice that you can give puppy people is that this too shall pass, you know, and one of the things you really want to do is, the happiest puppy people are the ones who understand this is a precious time and it's fleeting. And so the way to enjoy it is to dive in and understand you're going to back burner a bunch of things for now. You are going to have less time available for exercise and socializing and going out and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a hunker down at home time, and your adventures are going to be puppy focused when you do leave the house. The people who are happiest and who emerge from puppyhood with a terrific relationship with their dog are the ones who just went ahead and backburnered a lot of things. And then here's what happens. And I think this happened to a lot of people in COVID too. You rearrange the burners a little bit and you end up realizing you like it that way. And that, you know, it's kind of that the things that you have begun to prioritize end up bringing you more joy anyway. It slows you down. You're outside more. It's more small family time as opposed to, you know, being out and about with folks who maybe don't have as much meaning for you. And sometimes you end up a whole lot happier thanks to the puppy rearranging what you put on your front burner. So that's kind of my fondest hope for everyone, is that they will go ahead and dive in, prioritize that puppy, and find out that the changes they made to prioritize the puppy ended up making their life a whole lot better in ways they didn't anticipate.
And, you know, I always say, you know, tongue in cheek or total factual case here is the fact that, you know, surround yourself with people who love dogs. You know, you're going to be much happier. And those friends and family that understand and maybe have raised puppies themselves to dogs or just had dogs in their life, they understand that. They understand that those puppy years or months are critical, and to be patient in those situations. And your comment about babies, you know, I've always said that if you're thinking about having a baby, then get yourself a puppy. And if you can survive that, then maybe, just maybe, you have a chance to survive having a baby, or at least until they become teenagers, then there's no hope whatsoever.
Then all bets are off. Although, you know, teenage puppies are also challenging. I really do. There's a lot that's quite the same. There is a lot that's quite the same. You know, both babies and puppies need to feel safe. They need to feel they can trust you. They need consistency. They need you to teach and not just be mad that you can't already do it. There is a lot that's the same between puppies and babies.
I'll ask you the question then. Obviously, you said you foster pregnant dogs, and they have their litter, and then you're looking to place them into right and perfect forever homes.
Yep.
How do you go from the desire and the need of having to find a right and perfect forever home for that dog? So, you know, there is some rush, but you don't want to rush into it.
Right.
Compared to prepping them, the humans, ahead of time, because, you know, I always feel that they need to know what they're getting into before they bring the puppy home. And then all of a sudden they contact you, like you said, in a week or two and say, I can't handle it. Take the dog. And meanwhile, you've already fostered five or six more.
So true. So I'm lucky at this point. I've been fostering for 10 years. And so at this point, people kind of get excited when I have a litter and they are interested. And I can often have most of those puppies have people in line for them by the time we're at about 5 weeks. So that means we've got about 3 weeks for me to be prepping those folks, for me to be really sharing information with them, helping them with setup, helping them to figure out how to set up their kitchen, and should they have a crate in two places, and what are they going to, you know, what about a fence, and oh, you don't have a fence, can we do a temporary fence? Let's talk about potty training. What's your household schedule? Who's home? When can you possibly work more remote? Blah, blah, blah. We have weeks to talk about that. And that makes all the difference in the world, because then by the time they get the puppy, they're not shocked. And honestly, that's the thing that I think makes it so difficult for so many puppy owners, is that they just did not expect it to be this difficult. And they didn't know what to think about ahead of time. But the truth is, it's actually not that hard as long as you anticipate it. If you have been able to wrap your mind around, okay, what's this little baby going to need? How are we going to make it? Of course, he's going to cry when we do this. How can we, he doesn't want to be alone. How are we going to make that easier? Okay, let's prep that by having some stuffed topples in the freezer ready for him whenever we step away. And that will start to help him understand, hey, it's kind of cool to be alone because I always get this awesome treat. That kind of simple technique, if you're prepared for it, is not hard and helps you to go back to living more of your normal life. But if you did not anticipate any of that stuff, all you know is you try to leave the room to go upstairs to do the laundry and the pup sobs. And so that you end up feeling really stressed out. So really it is with these foster families, I feel so lucky that I do these days often have a chance to prep them a lot. I also I work with Homer Trails Animal Rescue, and they've been in business. They're great. I'm in Northern Virginia and they've been doing this for 20 years or so. And so the adoption coordinators we work with are very good at vetting the families ahead of time. And, you know, we aren't trying to play God, and we're not trying to be all, you know, judgy about who's who. We're just trying from both ends of the spectrum for the dog and the people, make sure everybody's going to be as happy as can be. And so that means sharing those information, that information, asking those questions, feeling them out for, are they ready for this? And then at some point, you're just taking the plunge. You're just diving in. And, you know, when I started doing this a decade ago, of course I cried. And, you know, when we were sending them off to their families, and at some point my husband said, you know what? You got to trust the puppy. And that really helps me let go, because indeed, trust this baby that we have nurtured and prepped and poured everything into and gotten him as ready as he can possibly be. We got to trust that he's going to do the rest. He's going to get into that household. He's going to be so darling that he is going to help those guys to feel the right way about him and respond with empathy.
Love it. I love it. That's a very good way to look at it. So in your book, Walk Me and Your Puppy from Planet Dog, How to Go Beyond Training and Raise Your Best Friend. Well, first of all, I've always said, you know, I've heard this many, many times that puppies don't come with manuals. And that's absolutely true. But this book is the manual, wouldn't you say? Aww, is it how you designed
thank you.
It? Yeah.
That's the goal. And I also designed it. So here's the thing. Of course, there are about 1 million puppy books on the market. You might well ask, why in the world are you writing another one? Well, the truth is, I could never find the one I wanted to give to people, because the ones that were on the market felt like homework to my people. They felt too hard. They felt filled with must-do kind of things and a 10-point training plan, and you're terrible if you do it this way, and there's only this one way to approach it. And it didn't free up the people to kind of feel their way and figure out what's worked for their own household and this own individual dog. And so I wanted to write something that was a little looser than that, that was a little bit more, yes, it absolutely has 1 billion suggestions in there. And if you want to follow all my ways, you totally can. But I also have in there just a general encouragement to trust your gut and follow your instincts. And as long as you are operating out of the idea that, look, this is a dog, this is not a baby human, this is a dog, and of course, he doesn't know how to operate here on this planet. So as long as you operate from there, start from there and think to yourself, hang on, has my puppy had a chance to be a dog today? Think about ways to meet those doggy needs. You know, has he gotten to sniff and chew and dig? Because he's going to have to do those things. And you can't sit around getting mad at him about all that stuff if you haven't given him, planned ahead, anticipated that he's going to be a dog and he's going to need to do some of those things. Given them an opportunity to do that stuff. But what I don't do in this book is tell you exactly how to do that stuff all the time and tell you that you're a failure if you don't do it this way. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of shaming. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people feel part of what makes puppyhood difficult isn't just the relentless sort of 24/7-ness of potty training and all that. It's also these external pressures that come from, you know, the internet, from TikTok trainers, from, you know, whatever, from, you know, the neighbor up the street who's saying, tisk, tisk, your dog seems to be very jumpy. You know, there's a lot of judging happening. And one of the things I'd really like to do is just kind of relax all that. So the tone of the book, I hope that's what comes across, is to tune that stuff out. And to a certain extent, give yourself the freedom to relax into this moment your own way without feeling that there's a big timetable for all these absolutes that you must teach. And instead, I want this to be an easy to read book. Hopefully it feels a little funny, feels a little bit relaxing. The chapters are short. So for exhausted puppy parents, hopefully they can, you know, just read the tiny chapter that pertains to what was on their mind today and then go back to playing with your puppy.
Yeah. And I thought that was great. You know, personally, I thought for my attention, let alone trying to train a puppy while I'm trying to learn, the short paragraphs and the short suggestions, these type of things, very important, because A, I can read through it. And like you said, take my time and read a little bit at a time, maybe those 5-minute naps the puppy's taking, I can read through it.
Yeah.
But also now I've got a reference guide. So if like, okay, what did Kathy say about, you know, the crates and what in the heck, what was that? What was a Martindale collar? What the heck was that thing?
Exactly. This is the thing. There is so much to learn and nobody can absorb it all. I just read, somebody was telling me some study that people retain 3% of what you tell them in 15 minutes, which, wow, that's just not very much. And when it comes to this dog stuff, like, there's just so much to it. And of course, you're not going to know all that stuff. So it's very helpful to have something sitting on your nightstand that you can be like, oh, wait, I think I read something about it. I can't remember. And you can just go right back and see what the possible suggestions are. Plus, the other thing is that just like childhood, puppyhood has a bunch of stages. So you might have skimmed over something because your puppy wasn't doing that thing yet. And then suddenly your puppy is barking at strangers or not wanting to be alone or biting too hard on the kids. And so suddenly you want to go back to that paragraph. So it's just nice to have one reference that you can keep, that you can trust, and that you can keep going back to as the puppy moves through all those stages of puppyhood.
Absolutely. So, and this is the book, Welcoming Your Puppy from Planet Dog, How to Go Beyond Training and Raise Your Best Friend by Kathy Callahan. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back right after this, continue our chat with Kathy Callahan about the book. And also I want to talk to her about writing the book and writing in general. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hey everybody, this is Tim Link, the host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Got some exciting news for you here today. My audiobook is now available. Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tale is now available in audiobook form through Audible.com, Amazon.com, and iTunes. It's a collection of 32 conversations I've had with the animals. It's a fun, interesting, heartfelt book that's suitable for all age groups. So everybody, pick up a copy of the audiobook, Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tale. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with author Kathy Callahan about her latest book, Welcoming Your Puppy from Planet Dog, How to Go Beyond Training and Raise Your Best Friend. And I love that. So, Kathy, when people pick up the book and they read through it and they reference back through things, did you have an ultimate goal or a takeaway? And how is it different based on the feedback you're getting? Is it the same and you say, ah, great, they got what I was trying to get across here? Or is it like, oh, I didn't know I was even trying to get that message across?
No, I have been absolutely thrilled with the response. So, of course, you can't help but look on Amazon and see what the reader, what the readers are saying. So when they comment, and I, honest to God, it makes me teary to read through the comments because they are getting what I was trying to say. A lot of them are just like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. That's the thing. Once you really think about it this way, it makes things easier. This idea, oh, hang on. Of course, this little dude is confused. As soon as you think about it that way, it all starts to feel much easier. And I love reading those comments because that is what people say. They're like, wow, I don't even know why I didn't think about this ahead of time, because once she pointed this out, I realized, of course, this makes sense. Why didn't I think about it themselves? And they say that it has made it so much easier for them. And that just makes me so happy.
Definitely so. I think that's the key. You know, when you, if you've had animals in your life, whatever type of animal it is, especially if it's a young animal, puppy in this case, and you raise them and got them to adulthood, et cetera. I think some of this you know, but wouldn't you say that oftentimes people forget, or it's like it's common sense, and then after they're like, oh, I knew that.
Totally. And the other thing is that it gets trained out of you. And that's just very sad, is that a lot of people have the experience where, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do with their puppy and they're not quite sure where to turn. It's a little harder than they thought. And so they go to a class or they work with a trainer, and the trainer comes at it with what I view as a very old fashioned take on things, where it's all about what the human wants. How do we make the puppy do what we want?
Right. Pack leader dominance type thing.
Pack leader dominance stuff, choke chains, you know, big authoritative voice, lots of big no's, lots of corrections. So that often doesn't feel great to people because they love their little puppy. And yet they do know that they're struggling a little bit at home and they don't really know how to do it another way. And so they kind of feel like, well, I guess I should listen to this guy, but it didn't feel right to them. And so that's a very common response I get to this book is, oh my gosh. So there is another way to do this. I felt a lot of pressure to do what the experts were saying, but it never did feel right to me. That is actually what happened to me with my first, when I was in seventh grade. I begged for my first puppy and got him. And then it was my job to go and take him to a training class. And I was so excited to go. And I thought it would be this really fun thing that we did together. But I got there and it was all of that old fashioned stuff. It was a big choke chain and I was supposed to yank on his neck and I was supposed to use the choke chain to pull him down to the ground into a down. And the whole thing just felt wrong to me. And it was also pressure filled. At the end, there was a test and we were supposed to perform well. And there was just all this pressure that, oh no, this dog is going to turn out badly and it's going to be my fault and blah, 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 all that stuff. And I hear echoes of that today from a lot of my clients that that is how they have felt when they have kind of tried to venture into training. And I love that when people start reading this book and reading about a different way to just go hand in hand with your dog, that you know, you can do all the same teaching. You do not have to use aversive techniques. You can teach all the same stuff beautifully in a way that builds your relationship instead of ruining it. You know, all that stuff destroys the trust between you and your dog. Whereas the kind of training I recommend will build that friendship and build that trust. And isn't that why we want dogs? I mean, what are we doing? Anyway, so it is, there is a fun and happy way to teach your dog all sorts of great stuff. If you want your dog healing and while you do it, figure eight, you can do all that stuff just as well without ever using any kind of aversive techniques. You just need to know what to do. That's all.
That's it. Positive training, positive reinforcement. And I love the comment, you go hand in hand or hand in paw.
Hand in paw.
Yeah, because you're building a relationship. You're building a connection, a friendship that's going to last many, many years. So you might as well have your puppy know what you want and need from them. And in return, you got to learn what you what they want and need from you. So it's a relationship for sure.
That's exactly it.
So let's talk about writing in general and putting together the book. Obviously, you know, you write on a regular basis for a whole dog journal and you've done newspaper writing before and still do that. And now you've got a book out. So tell me a little bit about maybe how the writing for the magazine has helped or hindered and what's the ins and outs. And I won't ask you how the good folks at New World Library treated you because they are the best.
They were fantastic. So this actually, I really do have a nice story about this. So the before I even was writing for Whole Dog Journal, so I have another book. It's called 101 Rescue Puppies, and that was published in 2020. And the way that got started was because this really is so funny. I used to be on the PTA board of my kids' elementary school, and one of the women there reached out to a few of us and said, I have a feeling that you write. Don't you write a little bit? I kind of want to have a writing group. And so in 2016, I think, we started this writing group. And that group of humans has such a special role in my life. I can't even tell you. It has stuck. We meet every month. We all submit something. And it has become such a touchstone for us. You know, so we've turned out to have, I'm a dog writer. There's a playwright in there. There's a poet in there. There's a journalist and there's a novelist. And so we all write different things, but that's what sharpened all of my writing. And that's also what gave me deadlines. You got to have deadlines for, or at least I do. Sitting alone in your house and thinking you can write a book is just too much, because you're just going to give up because you're going to think, oh, come on, who wants to read what I have to say? And that is what happened. You know, so with me, I got the deadline for the first writing group and I'm like, shoot, what am I going to write about? So I wrote about a foster puppy and I kept it short and small. And I was kind of envisioning maybe a little puppy book that's mostly photos. But those friends who are not even all dog people were like, hey, I want to know more. I'm interested in this part of that story. And when you have people giving you feedback that they're actually interested in what you have to say, and then they give further feedback about, hey, I was confused about this part, or I have questions over here, it sharpens and sharpens and sharpens your writing to the point that you are ready, in fact, to submit a book proposal. And that is totally what happened to me. And I wish everyone in the world who has a little fantasy about writing could find a writing group like this one, because you'll surprise yourself what you can come up with. And it's such a joy.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, surround yourself with people. And that's what I, you know, from this show, I've been doing this show for a long time now. And obviously, I've interviewed a lot of different writers and authors and bloggers and you name it. And I try to pull a little bit from each one for my next writing project or my next book, because everybody takes the angle a little different. And I love the fact that a PTA group came up with the idea of putting together a writing group. That was I guess one of the first ones I've heard of that.
Right?
So I love that.
Crazy.
But there are all kinds of them. If you reach out to your PTA, your local church, there's obviously writing associations and groups in your most local communities. I know I belong to several in the greater Georgia, Atlanta area. And finding those people to bounce the ideas off of, to critique your work, to just simply give you comments back, like you said, about they want to learn more, but they didn't quite understand this. That really, I can imagine, does sharpen your quill a little bit.
Honestly, it just wouldn't have happened without them. You also need the attaboy. You know, you need somebody to be like, hey, that was great, because it's hard to sit there in front of that blank screen. And if you have encouragement from people you respect, you're gonna plow through those moments where it feels too hard. And now, honestly, it never feels too hard to me. I should knock on wood while I say that. I'll probably get slammed by total writer's block. But now I'm in such a groove with all of this that I'm never done. I have a million ideas about what to write, and I know just how to write it and where to send it. And that is all because this writing group helped me find my groove.
Fantastic. Love it. So last question for you here. When everybody picks up a copy of the book, Welcoming Your Puppy from Planet Dog, How to Go Beyond Training and Raise Your Best Friend, what do you hope is the key takeaway? Is there something that at the end of the day, we talked about the accolades and people saying they get it. Is there a key takeaway you're hoping that people get from the book?
So I think, you know, other than that fundamental concept about the planet dog thing, I want to think a little bit further ahead and think about how this puppy is going to affect their life, and think about how, you know, every dog is unique, and I want folks to be open to what this puppy has to offer them. You know, sometimes folks get a puppy after a very beloved dog has passed on. And often that puppy can bring on a little bit of a fresh wave of grief, because you get this new puppy and you realize, oh, wait, this isn't the same. And the puppy will act different, will play differently, will like different things. And a little, there's sometimes some disappointment. And that's a really natural response. And what often follows that, though, as they dive in with this puppy, the puppy will bring them to new adventures and teach them new things about themselves. And later, you know, 13 years from now, they're going to be thinking this way about this puppy, is that, oh my gosh, that dog was one in a million. And I just love thinking, being open to the individual dog that is developing right in front of you. It's a two-way dance. It's the two of you coming together to create something unique that you can cherish. But if your head is filled with shoulds and, you know, it's got to be this way, and I want the dog to do this, you're going to fail to be open to what the dog really could magically bring into your life.
Great message. Great message. You never should on yourself. That's the key. That's the
right.
key. Well, Kathy, where can people find out more about you, the book, appearances, all the great stuff you got going on?
Sure. So my website is www.puppypicks.com. I'm also on Instagram @puppy.picks, And I'm also on Facebook, Kathy Gord Callahan. And if you like to watch foster puppy stories, I just finished up with a beautiful litter this spring. So we took in a pregnant mama and then, you know, had those puppies all through the spring. And it's pretty fun to go back to the beginning there and see those puppies born and see how they grow up. And they still to this day now come to my house to play. So that kind of stuff is, I post mostly on Facebook for that kind of stuff. And it's awfully fun to look through.
Love it. Love it. All right. We'll make sure we get everything posted on that. So everybody go pick up a copy of the book. It's Welcoming Your Puppy from Planet Dog, How to Go Beyond Training and Raise Your Best Friend. Kathy, congratulations on a fantastic job. A nice quick reference book that's fun, but definitely relevant. And big kudos to you.
Tim, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate being on here. It was lovely to chat with you.
Oh, same here, same here. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, drop us a line, petliferadio.com, and we will definitely answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.